and this is a real story. A group of Bible college students, they were living in the hostel. They were living together, sharing rooms. And they decided that they will be contributing and cooking in turns. So that if it's your turn today, you cook. And then so that the burden is shared. And so they started to do that. And some of them started dropping off. But they were eating. Some were not bringing their money regularly. Some were no more cooking even. And they continued to do that. And they graduated. And the story is that all of them that lived there, it was only one man who was consistent in cooking and contributing. And people found out that he was the only one who had a successful ministry. The rest of them fell out of the ministry. Only that man who was consistent in cooking and contributing had a very successful ministry. The other people fell off one by one until they all left the ministry. You know what? Because God is looking for a faithful what? Faithful man. And he said a faithful man who can find is looking for him. And I learned that when redeemed people wanted to send somebody to America, they didn't tell anybody. They selected a group of pastors and gave them assignment what they should be doing. So they were doing it, and some started grumbling, some started murmuring, and they didn't know the purpose of it. So after some time, only one pastor was faithful. And then their GO now announced that he was the one they were sending to America. The others sat up. He was now the one they were sending to America. You know, if they told them that time that we send you to America, they will be, they didn't tell them anything. And that was a way to find out the faithful person who was sent to America. When we came to this country, there's one thing they were all saying from people in Foursquare, people in Foursquare, to people in Queens College, the teachers, including some Muslims. This was not limited to Christians. Muslims. They said, these people are so faithful. You can ask my wife. Including Muslims. They said, these people are so faithful. In fact, that was what they were all saying. These people are so faithful. In fact, one man that was the head of the Islamic group that was planning to build a mosque in the school. In fact, he had started building the mosque, but the mosque didn't continue. He said to them, he said, what is this about Jesus? He said, I want to be, there was something that he said about being like Jesus or something. You remember?
Amen. He came to our house with his partner, the lady that was coordinating the Islamic group, and said that I should pray for them, that they want to have, I've forgotten something, you know. I know I just prayed for them, but I can't remember exactly, you know. That they just wanted something, you know.
I remember they said that this can only be Jesus. Right? I remember that this has to be who? Jesus. Said they want to have it. I mean, can you imagine the head of Islamic people coming to your house and said, what time? He said, from where did you people get the grace to do all this things? Say, it has to be Jesus. I said, I need you to pray for me because I want what you have. I've told you the story that I was told to tell you. Now let's go to what we have to share. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank you, give you praise, and give you glory for this hour that we've gathered in your presence. It's such a marvelous time of blessing that we will hear your word. It's such a privilege to hear your word. There is nothing more precious than the word that you speak. And so we are so blessed that in your mercy you have ordered our footsteps into this place. We are trusting you to open our ears and our eyes, that our time here will be beneficial, and that our life will be the better for it. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, there's this church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church, a very great church. I want us to look at that church this evening and see what we can learn from them in Revelation 2, 1 to 5. Does anybody know how to put? I'm no more used to this. Okay, don't worry, I'll try. Revelation 2, 1 to 5. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I know what? I didn't hear you. All the things you do. Okay. Okay, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and what you cannot, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have, I want you to note these words. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are what? Evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's what? Sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first what? Your first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your what? Lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Each time God talks to us and gives a warning, it means he's been talking to you before. And when you look at this church in Ephesus, looking at it the way we would judge a church, that should be a model church. That should be a terrific church. If you go through their resume, very impressive resume. Extremely impressive. Let's go back to that chapter, verse 2 or so. Verse 2. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. What a fantastic resume. And you have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but they're not. You don't give them a chance in your church. You don't allow them to minister in your church. I know you do that, but are not. And you have discovered their liars. Verse 3. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. And verse 4. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at what? At first. Brethren, you know, it's. I read this thing and I'm going, this church should be awesome. I mean, the resume is very impressive. You even say, yeah, you suffered for me. You didn't quit. You stood for me. Your hard work, your patience, your endurance. I thought that proved they loved him, but he said, no, you don't love me. And he's the one, he says, I'm the one that knows your heart. I know what to do. Anybody watching any Christian like this We give them a what? Pass mark. Give them a pass mark. You know, I didn't go home. I stayed here. I haven't gone home. I stayed there. I said, Lord, I need to sort this. I need to sort out what to say. I'm not going anywhere. So I was here for hours. I said, this church is awesome. But God said they're backsliding. He said, you have fallen. Fallen is, you have what? Backsliding. I said, really? He said, you don't love me. Yet you fought. You stood for me. And he said, you still don't what? Love me. Wow. And he told them, if you don't reverse this thing, I'm coming to take your lampstand what? Out. Serious. Very serious. You know what that means? I'm not giving you any more revelation. Your lamp is going out. And I'm the one, I'll snuff it out. Very serious indictment. And he said to them, of all these things, loving me is the first work. Go back there. And then I started to look at the Bible, and I realized that what God was saying has happened before. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It has happened before. Look at, they were full of zeal. Full of what? Zeal. But they were not full of love. Look at Romans 10:2. Let's look at the Pharisees, if they were anything resembling this. I know what enthusiasm they have for God. Romans 10:2. I know what? Enthusiasm they have for God. But it is misdirected zeal. Can you put New Living Translation? Can you put it in the New King James Version? That's Romans 10:2. For I bear them witness that they have a what? A zeal. Didn't the church have a great zeal for God? They have a zeal for God. And Jesus himself began to tell us how zealous these people were in John chapter 5, verse 39. Verse 39. He said, you search the scripture. They really search the scripture. We went to Israel. I think my wife can remember. And Pastor Victor, maybe you can remember. They used to carry the scripture here. Eh? I didn't know how the whole scripture can enter into that tiny thing. And that's exactly what the Old Testament told them, that they should carry it. Jesus said, they read the scripture. He said, you read it. Studying, they would quote it. You see this thing the Muslims do, cram the Quran, that's what they do. And Jesus said, yeah, you search the scripture, you search it, you really read it. For in them you think you have what? Eternal life. And in verse 42, he told them something else. But I know you, that you do not have what? The love of God in you. He said, all this your zeal and everything, I know you, that you don't have the love of God in you. Is it not the same indictment that God was bringing to this church? He said, I see your zeal, I see everything, but I don't see my love in you. You don't have any love for me. Neither do you have for one another. First Corinthians starting 1-3. If I could speak Now, I want you to bear in mind, as we read this thing, bear in mind this church that we're talking about. So I want you to bear in mind this church we're talking about and put it against what the Holy Spirit is writing to the church now. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I will still be what? Nothing. If I gave everything, now remember God said, I know what you did, you fought. You gave everything. I saw it. But you don't have love. Put it at the background as we read. It says, if I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrifice my body. God said, yeah, I saw the sacrifice. I saw all those things that this church was doing. I saw how you fought for me. I saw all of that. But you don't have love for me. And the Holy Spirit is telling the church that this is possible. You can do all of this. You can sacrifice your body and still not have love for God. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained what? Nothing. So what God is saying to them is, what you are doing, this is exactly the picture. Exactly what the scripture, exactly what the Holy Spirit repeated is Ephesians church. Sacrifice your body. Give all you can. Do all these things for me. But you didn't have love. And he says, it's nothing. All those things, zero. And will profit you what?
Nothing.
Wow. Then I realized that whatever is not done in love is not done in the spirit. It's done carnally. That's why I profit not. Because God is what? It's love. Whatever is not done, he says, even the truth, speak the truth in what? In love. Whatever is not done in love is not done in God and is carnal. It's not spiritual. A life that is not lived in God, it's not lived in love, it's not lived in God. Is it possible that a man can do all these things and not love God? Check out, look around you and see that people can blow themselves up thinking that they are serving who? God. Check it out. First John. Four. 7-8. Dear friends, let's continue to love. Beloved. Okay, let's read New King James Version. Beloved, let us love what? One another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love. Complete it for me. I want you to talk. Come on. He who does not love what? So that Ephesian church, God is saying, you don't even know me. You are ignorant of me. Say, because there's no love there. So you don't know me. You are ignorant. You are doing all these things. It's nothing, because it's not done in my love. Say, he who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. You know why I'm going back and forth? I'm not used to carrying this thing. If I had the other one, I could carry my this one and be moving all over the place. But to carry too heavy weight, let me try. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. We know, verse 16 of 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God has what? God is love. And he who abides in love does what? Abides in God, and God, he who lives in love, a life that is lived in the love of God is lived in God. An act that is done in the love of God is done in God. An act that is done that is outside the love of God is not done in God. It's done carnally. Profit nothing. So even if you give yourself, kill yourself, do everything, if it's not done in love, the Bible says, it's not done in God. It's not done in God. I will profit nothing. That's why God said to them, I see all these things you do, but I don't see my love in you. And he said, you got to change quickly. You have to rectify this, what? Quickly. That the first work you need to do is not all those things. The first work you need to do is to go back to loving me. So you left the first thing, first things first. Thou shalt love the Lord, what? The God with. And Jesus said, this is the key thing. This is the most important. You know, I realized that I was in this situation myself for years as a Christian. I was. Because then, boy, I was full of zeal. I could die for this thing. I don't forget the day we did crusade. And we were supposed to pay, the chairs we rented, we were supposed to pay on daily basis. So, after the crusade, I decided that we cannot pay for 2 days. And it was raining. When I mean raining, pouring. So I drove my 504 there. And with my 504, I was loading chairs. Do you know the number of chairs for crusade? I was using my car to load them and to drop. I did several trips until I removed my shade. The rain was pouring on me. I did, and nobody knew. I was just doing it. I did several trips to make sure that chair does not slip there so we don't pay for 2 days. And talk of evangelism, talk of visitation from house to house. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now I have a friend. Man, I was full of zeal from house to house. Man, but something was happening. We would go from house to house, visit all those people, pray for them. But not one person was following us. Not one soul. But we had a neighbor. Praise the Lord. We had a neighbor who wasn't so zealous. And he will come to us to find out how we are doing. He will buy us banana, buy us things. I call my wife, I say, so Christians give gifts? Real story, I'm not joking. I said, so Christians give gifts. And this man will see us, he will ask us how, he'll be so nice. Then he will give me his car to go and use for church planting. He wasn't living a deeper life. If every time he traveled and came back, he would make sure he bought me a shirt, bought me this. The wife would bring us. Every time they were bringing us things. Every time. And they had a lot of smiles to give. They had a lot of smiles to give. And I looked at this man. I said, is this man not a Christian? But he's not part of our church. So how can he be a Christian? It was a struggle for me. And one day, I went to our leader. I said, sir, there's another Christian living near me, and he doesn't come to our church. And I want you to invite him so we can listen to him. And our leader invited him over. For the first time, we had somebody who wasn't part of us to come and minister to us in our meeting. So when he came, he preached a very simple message. But the message was so penetrating. And I sat there, I said, hey, this man is a Christian. So there's another church. Because we are told that there is no other Christians except us. So there's another church. So I went to him, I said, why do you go to church? So he told me, you know why I'm telling this? I had all that zeal. There was no love. And everybody around me paid the price for it. No love at all. I'm not kidding you. No love at all. But I could do anything that was given. Look, I walk distances to conduct life sentence. I walk under the rain, walk under whatever. But there was no love. And I didn't even know what is called the love of God. I never had anything about it. Nobody taught me about it. And brethren, we paid great price for it. I paid, believe you me, when I remember it today, sometimes I want to cry. I paid severely for it. The devil took me to the cleaners. I'm telling the truth. My children will tell me when we came, he said, Daddy, the way you flog us. They're here. They say, the way you flogged us. They're here. They will tell me. If I remember using paper on one of my house girls, I put paper on her to make her live good life. And she didn't change. This is what God was telling this one. I don't see my love in you. I don't see my love in you. The primary thing is my love. The primary thing is what? My love. He called it the first work. That's the first thing. That's number one thing. Because whatever you do in love is done in God. And if it's done in God, then God is in it. And if God is in it, it will produce what? Result. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You can carry this to your home. Brother, do you know why I was doing all that zeal? There wasn't any peace in my home. But the outsiders didn't know. Everybody that saw me saw a very zealous Christian. But they didn't know that I was dysfunctional. Completely dysfunctional. Totally dysfunctional. My life was not lived in God at all. No. And it profited me what? It's part of that zeal. I met somebody whose life was full of anger. Every time you met this person, it was difficult to relate with. Very difficult. You could sense it. Your spirit could sense this anger thing from a distance. And there was no joy in this thing. So recently, I met the same person. And he was so different. He was full of, you know, so different. Full of love. The atmosphere changed. Full of laughter. I sat there, I said, are you? Then because of that, I sat there for hours. This was totally different. And then as we started to talk, he said, I've come to understand the grace of God. He said, I used to struggle to please God until I learned that the way is the way of mercy and grace. Praise the Lord, somebody. And he embraced the love of God, and the love of God touched his life. And his circumstance, what? Changed. Even me could ask her. I said, he said, are you kidding me? He said, I noticed it. He was so loving. You could spend 30 hours there, I wouldn't feel anything. The environment was awesome. In fact, the place was so awesome. That's what God was telling them. Go back to the thing that makes it work. Can I hear amen? Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? Go back to the thing that what? Makes it work. It's me. I'm love. If you don't do things in my love, you're not doing it in me. It's carnal. You won't produce anything. Even the truth must be spoken in love. If you want it to bear fruit. I don't know if I'm communicating to you. Am I communicating to you? Zeal does not translate to the love of God. But the love of God will always produce a zeal that is productive, but not the zeal of the Pharisees. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. And there are two things that will help us to develop in the love of God. Number one is to be humble. To be teachable. If you are not humble, you can't grow. You can't grow in the graces of God. If you are not what? Humble. You can't grow. Because God gives more grace to the humble. And the word of God, the Bible says, is engrafted in the heart that is meek. If your heart is not meek, it will not be engrafted. It is the humble that God will lead in the way. You must, the first thing that Jesus did when he came here was to make himself of no what? That's the beginning point. Every ministry that doesn't start there is a waste of time. It's a matter of time that ministry will crash. Every life that does not start there is wasting time. You must come where you know you are nothing. And that Jesus is everything. You have to come to a place where you give Jesus his rightful place and take your own place as zero. It's everything. You become teachable and you are prepared to learn. Even when you don't understand, humble yourself. Because there are things you may not understand now, but you understand what? Later. You fight it now. Later, when you understand, you realize you are fighting God. It pays to be humble. Very, very humble. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Number two. Colossians 2:19-23. You know what we're saying this? So that your ministry will be productive. So that your service will be what? Productive. So that your life will also be what? Productive. Colossians 2:19-23. And they are not connected. See, if you bring me here, give me time. Because I have a lot to teach. If you don't give me time, I'll be here till tomorrow. Give me time so I can regulate myself. How many minutes have I taken? How many minutes have I taken? 35? So how many minutes more? Oh, really? Okay. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:19-23. And not holding fast to... Can you put New Living Translation? Makes it a little better for us. And they are not connected to Christ. They are not what? I didn't hear you. Are you people really here?
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me? And they are not connected to Christ. Not connected to Christ. That statement is powerful. They are not connected to who? Christ. Any teaching, anything that's not connected to Christ is not going to help you. They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligament. And it grows as God nourishes it. The body is held by Jesus. Church, the body is held by who? Jesus. And once it is held by Christ, then you are in a position to receive nourishment as a vine and a branch. God nourishes it, and the body begins to grow. That's how you grow in love. Grow in grace. You have to be connected to Christ. You have to be connected to what? Christ. You must see yourself in Christ. You must see Jesus as your life. You must see Jesus as your everything. You must be, I can't say it enough. You must be connected to Jesus. You must be connected. They are not connected to Christ, who is the head of the body. You can't survive if you cut yourself off from the head. You can't. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligament, and it grows as God what? Nourishes it. You cannot disconnect from the head and survive. Praise the Lord. If you want to grow in love, in the character of God, if you want to really grow in it, you have to be nourished by God. You have to be nourished by the Spirit of God. You have to be nourished by the Spirit of Jesus. But you have to be connected by faith. You have to be connected by faith. You have to be connected by faith. Looking unto Jesus in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, not taking your gaze away from him. You must. Your faith and everything, the foundation on which is laid and is solid, is Christ himself. The next verse. You have died. You have what? Died with Christ. And he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, thinking that those are the things that will set you free? You say you've died with Christ now. You've died with Christ now. He set you free now. Why do you think that these are the things that will set you free? See, these are from human minds. See, it's not connected. It's not connecting you to Christ. It's not focusing you on Jesus. It's not making you look at Jesus Christ. It's not. He said, why should you? So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as A, B, C, D, blah, 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 blah. And then, okay. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. 22, come on. Such rules are mere human what? Teaches. About things that deteriorate as we use them. 23. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil what? That's what I was teaching yesterday. That's what I was teaching yesterday. He said, Christ already did stuff. You died with him. Now he will set you free from the powers of this world. He said, these things are not the things to set you free. They are not the things that will make you conquer your evil desires. It is what Christ did that will make you conquer your evil what? Desires. You died to these powers that will influence people. You are, Christ set you free from them. They are not supposed to influence you, whether it is power of sin, power of the devil. You'll be set free from them because you died with Jesus Christ. He said, that is what we, if you believe it and walk in it, you are connected to Jesus, connected to what he does, then the Spirit of God will nourish you in that knowledge and your faith will rise up. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because that faith is your victory, always your victory. I found in my own life, let me tell you something. I was telling one young man today, I said, sit down, let me tell you some stories. So we're sharing some stories. I said, no. I went with my wife. I said, we went for this street conference. And my wife said she forgot her clothes. So I said, you know, I went out. I didn't even tell her. I said, I just went out to buy her some other things she needed, and I said, I'm going to buy clothes for her because she forgot her clothes. I said, I went to buy them. I said, before, if she says she forgot it, I'll be angry. I said, but you know you were going to this place, so why didn't you bring it? I said, Jesus has changed all of them. I said, I didn't even remember anger. All I had was compassion to help. I said, before, but you know we are going now. This is why you women behave. Why didn't you pack your clothes? You should have packed them. Believe you me, God is my witness. My mind didn't go there. I didn't think about it. All I was thinking is how to help. That's what Christ's life does. And I went out looking for mercies, and I found one. And I went to buy my wife clothes. I didn't tell her. And I found this case she's been looking for a long time. I've gone looking for the same skirt I didn't find. So when I found it, I said, hey, this is the skirt my wife was looking for a long time. So I packed the thing. And when I brought it back, listen to this. I brought it for her. Ha! She said, wonderful, I've been looking for this. Where did you see it? I said, it doesn't matter why I saw it. It's my money. She said, okay, I'm going to test them. I test them now. So she went and started. Then she brought, so this is not my size. This is not my size. I said, okay, anyone that's not your size, I'll go there and change it. And I said, anything you don't like, I'll go there and change it. And that's what I did. I went there and changed them. And I said, I saw some other colors. You want them? He said, yes. I brought them. I said, since you've been looking for this and you didn't see them, let me order more so that you don't have to be searching for this kit again. And I carried the whole thing to her. And then I said to the young man, I said, do you know the first day we came? Because I will get a suit because my wife doesn't have enough sleep at all because of her job. So when we travel, I make a point of, So when we travel, I make a point of getting a suit. The reason is that I work late in the night and I wake early. So I found that if we sleep in the same room, I turn on the light, disturb her sleep. And that's the only time she can catch some sleep. So I said, when we travel, I'll pay and get the one room suite so that you can sleep. I'll lock the door and come to the living room, turn on the light, and I can stay there till 1 a.m. I wake up by 4 so that you can sleep enough, and I do what I like. So we got this suit, and then we got there late. And then we, you know, the sister came, got her room where they are doing the conference and everything. And then we got our suit outside, which was cheaper than what other people got, because I use hot water. Yeah. So after we dropped the sister, now we came to our own room. Brethren, this was after 11, tired. And we went to second floor, and we entered. And I came up, thinking that we can now rest. My wife said, no, I don't like this room. He said, I like the fourth floor. I said, I went down again. Again, before, I would have said, we are staying here. After all this suffering, you don't even recognize all the suffering I've suffered. It's all this moving up. This woman, that's your... I said, it didn't come to my mind. And I'm not joking. It wasn't effort. All I wanted was to make her happy. I didn't remember those anger stuff. These things are, believe you me, I'm telling you that Christ really saved us. It's a reality. I went, I said, okay, you stay. I went down, I told her, I said, I'm sorry, please, I'm sorry. Can I have the key to fourth floor? So they gave me the key, and I carried our things to fourth floor, and we got out, entered the room. It was smelling cigarette. So she said, no, we're going back to where we used to go. And I said, is that okay? Is that what will make you happy? Okay. So I loaded our things again. Now it's after 11. Loaded it back to that second floor. And I said, honey, this place smells nice. Now you like it? He said, yeah. I said, do you know all that while there was no thought of anger? No. It didn't cross my mind. Didn't think of it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That thing I was doing was my heart. For real. I said, when I see what Christ has done, and I see where I used to be, and I see this one is more glorious than that one. And I said to the young man, I said, Pastor, wow, I have to do all this. I said, no, you don't have to. I said, Jesus does it. Praise the Lord. Awesome. We must do everything in love. We must grow in love. Grow in love. Grow. Tap your neighbor and say, grow in love. I didn't hear you. When you teach Sunday school in love, when you teach Sunday school in love, when you lead people in love, they get blessed. They get blessed. But when you don't lead them in love, you cause stress. Heat comes. But when you lead people in love, you see the power of God work. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. You know the bishop that we are buying his house? He's a pastor. He said, I never met you before. I don't want to say a lot that he said. He said, I never met you. He was telling Chris Onyechana this last 2 weeks or so. He said, I never met you before. But I know the first time I meet you, I won't even go there. He said, but he said, Pastor, I've been thinking. He said, do you know the day it snowed? I passed by your church. He said, cars were parked there. And I said, I drove around again. Cars were parked there. And it snowed. He said, Pastor, if it snows, we have parking, nobody comes to church. He said, I could not believe my eyes. I said, I went around again. And you don't have parking. And cars were parked there. He said, and I went to your website to study your church. And he said, I saw you people do a lot of missions work. And I said to him, Bishop, do you know why those cars are parked? He said, no. I said, the scripture says, in the day of my power, my people shall be what? Willing. I said, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Nobody brings anybody here. It's the Spirit of God that draws people to Christ and brings them here. And when Jesus brings them to you to teach, to lead, love them. Can I hear amen? Do what? Let the Spirit of Christ, love of God, flow through you. Touch them. If they poo, clean it. We have to wash their feet. Don't find fault. Love them. God bless you. Bow your heads, please.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.